Welcome to the Mining Pod. Charlie and Matt join me as always for our news roundup, but we are doing it live. This is the first live one we have done together. This will also go out on podcast format on the Mining Pod podcast. You can find it anywhere you can find a podcast. Also on our Blockspace YouTube channel. Just type in Blockspace, it'll pop right up. You'll see the Mining Pod. So if you have to jump out, but you like the conversation, you can catch up with us later. For now, let's just dive into a quick video to recap the day.
Had conversations now over many years where you've talked about Bitcoin being worth something on the order of $500,000, literally in only a couple of years from now. Do you stand by that? How does this ETF change that, speed that up, slow it down? What do you think?
Yes. So you'll find in our big ideas, so that's at ark-invest.com, the building blocks for our price forecast. And our base case is in the $600,000 range. Our bull case, and we think the probability of the bull case has increased with this SEC approval. This is a green light. Our bull case is $1.5 million by 2030. You can see the building blocks. You can see how conservative we are in terms of those building blocks. This is a big idea. It is the first global, decentralized, digital, rules-based, critical there, rules-based monetary system in history. It is a very big idea.
That's pretty big stuff right there, folks. That
shout
is
out Cassie, shilling our bags on whatever station that was. Heck yeah.
CNBC.
Yeah.
Shout out Kathy. We're going to be rich. That's pretty good stuff right there. Okay. Just like a little bull hopium to start the live stream off. We're not going to stick with that for too long. But of course, today marks the first day of trading for these Bitcoin ETFs. They were all went greenlit yesterday, even after the SEC fumbled the bag on the announcement in so many different ways, so many inventive ways that government can fumble a bag. So we're going to start off talking about Bitcoin ETFs. The market is getting close to closing in the afternoon here. We'll move in and talk about Vanguard not allowing purchases, why that's happening. We're going to go over to Bitcoin miners, which dumped today. A lot of people expected that, but still a little shocking and not everyone loves that. We have some thoughts from some people who sent in some quotes, and we'll kind of finish up with some ideas on what's next. If you are in the audience and you want to join, you know, you can hit me up. I see Bikram, MicroPig in the chat. I see Cathedra in there saying, dare I say it, are we so back? If you want to join, give me a DM on Twitter. I can throw you a link and we can have a little guest call in. That might be a little bit fun. But let's start off first with the Bitcoin ETF flows and just kind of talk through some of that information. We're going to go over to these screeners. Here's the ETFs. The big winner for the day was the iBit share, which was BlackRock. Surprise, surprise. They're a blot. And then also the Grayscale Bitcoin Trust, which rose on the day. You can see like a 3% change. And Grayscale, obviously, since it was a trust and it was transitioning here, and they actually kind of led the charge with the lawsuit against the SEC that forced all of this. They are winning because they already have like a lot of volume. People might be converting that. And then BlackRock is BlackRock. The other ones, which I don't think we actually have all of them listed here necessarily, and not all the data is up to date, as you can see. They're pulling in. We'll see which ones are the winners. There was a lot of jockeying last week over fees and allocations and all that to see who would win out. Charlie, I'll throw it to you first. Any ideas or thoughts? Or maybe your dog can chime in as well.
Yeah, I got two dogs in back. Welcome to live stream, baby. No, I have no additional thoughts that haven't been already said. And the horse has been kicked well beyond, you know, how much I can kick it. I just think this is fun. This has been a long-awaited thing. I remember years ago thinking the ETF was right around the corner, and here we are. So welcome, boomers. Welcome to the club.
Oh, does Mr. Drew Armstrong from Cathedra want to join? I'll send him the
yeah,
link.
Yeah, bring him on.
Bring him on.
I'm going to send him the link and see if he shows up.
What I haven't thought about, but it's occurring to me now looking at the screener, is the divisor that each of the issuers basically put their entitlements to. Obviously, right, there's like a certain like a unit that each share that's issued of the ETF is entitled to for a certain amount of Bitcoin that's actually in custody, right? And it's not just one-to-one where there's one share is, you know, 46,000 or whatever we're at now. But you see the like a bit all over the place. So it's not a standardized thing. So that's like kind of interesting to me. I haven't looked at that before.
Matt, I threw this up. You sent it to me while we're chatting here. Big Ideas 2023 from ARK Invest. Let's go over to page 65, which you said we should take a look at. I think everyone can see this on YouTube pretty well. Give us some thoughts on this, and then we'll go over to MicroPig, who's sending in some thoughts from the crowd.
Well, you know, I think what Kathy Wood said on CNBC or whatever mainstream platform she was on catches people off guard a bit. You just hear the numbers, base headline, you know, 600,000, bull case, 1.5 million. A lot of Bitcoiners out there may actually think that those are bearish estimates, but I just kind of wanted to pull this up so people actually know where that is coming from. So it's pretty clear it's a TAM-based valuation model, and she's just plucking from a bunch of different categories, right?
Love it. Drew just joined us. Mr. Drew Armstrong, welcome to the chat. Oh, he did not prepare his microphone. That's really embarrassing. Give us a second. Go to the settings and hit the flywheel there, and you'll put it incorrectly. Let's go over to MicroPig for a second here. Bitcoin MicroPig is a huge Mara bull. He says, quote, have the ETFs been buying coin during the day, or will they have to wait until tonight? Also says, also apparently OTC desks are offering premiums to large hodlers. I imagine the miners will be offering similar premiums. Any thoughts on that, Charlie or Matt? I did see some things on that.
Dude, all I talk about is ordinals. I'm not a TradFi guy. Whatever he says, I just have recency bias. The last like macro take I've heard. So, yeah. I mean, we'll see. It'll take me like a week or two to figure out what's actually going on.
Drew, you also have something weird going on with your mic right now. But welcome to the show.
I'll try on a MicroPig question here. So I don't know exactly when they're buying coins, but because it's a little bit foggy in my mind, the difference between there's a lot of chat between the cash versus in-kind creations, right? But what typically happens in an in-kind scenario is there's different companies, entities called authorized participants, and they're the ones that are actually creating and redeeming these shares. And so if they come in with, let's say it is in kind and it's a physical Bitcoin backed financial product, they will come in with Bitcoin and create the shares to level out the peg, right? So these people like are market participants. They try to capture kind of like the arbitrage in here, and they will try to make sure that the security itself is actually level on the underlying, if that makes sense.
So we got the research guy from CoinShares on here. We've been offering this kind of product for a while. So we got Charlie with Ordinals and Matt with the deep dive on TradFi. Drew, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, defeated the microphone. How are we doing today?
I'm doing well. You know, I'm surprised. It's a moment long foretold, this ETF approval, the ETF going live. It seems like the volumes are there based on the current estimates that I've seen on Twitter. It is surprising, though, that number no go up as much as many would thought.
I feel that. Okay, I do have one question for you. How bad was the hangover this morning from PubKey last night?
I'm a responsible man. When you spend as much time at PubKey over the last year as I have, you need to be comfortable not drinking when you go to PubKey sometimes. But I know that I think I'm the exception. I think most people were a little worse for the wear. But it was pretty great last night, just seeing James Safer come in, you know, hot off Twitter deck, and just, you know, giving us kind of the latest stuff he's heard as well. But I think what he was saying is that his expectation was 2 to 4 billion of volumes on day one. Last I saw on Twitter, and you know, I was, this is from an account called Ficky Thought, so hard to really verify that one. But they were advertising 2.3 billion as of a couple hours ago. So if that's the case, we could be well on track for the upper bound of that range.
Yeah, I just got to take a note of this photo. Like, this is Bloomberg analyst Peter McCormick. I think it's like Danny, how are you say his last name in the background?
Danny Knowles. And then you got the one of the co-founders of Valkyrie there as well.
Oh, okay.
Nice. Valkyrie might actually have the best Bitcoin ETF ticker, in my opinion.
Burr. Right? They're the Burr guys?
They are.
I don't know how the TradFi's going to do it. Like they stop working on the weekends. You know, this is a 24/7 industry. So I'm really curious to see what, you know, cycles emerge and if that meters Bitcoin's volatility or enhances it. I do not know.
Okay, well, speaking of numbers, let's go over to some stock screeners. And Drew, feel free to stick around for forever along. We'd love to have you for the show. We're looking at iBit. This is, I believe, the BlackRock one, right?
Yes.
Okay. Defiance Daily Short digitizing the economy. That's kind of throwing me off right now. But, you know, begin the day, kind of spot bit up and then petered out. We saw the same thing with the BTCO, which is the Invesco Galaxy Digital one. Those seem to be the ones with the most volumes as of right now. This is from Eric over at Bloomberg, Balkunas, I think you say his last name correctly. This is as of a few hours ago. We're kind of waiting for the end of day data. I haven't seen a tweet with end of day data that's like super accurate at the time, but Bitto, GBTC, top 10, and then iBit, Invesco, a few other ones were also doing quite well. So pretty huge volumes for the day. We kind of beaten that part of the subject to death, so we can move over and let's talk about Bitcoin mining stocks, which, you know, we kind of clickbaited the show by saying that they're dead, but they are indeed not dead. They are just having a bad day. You can see that Riot is down the most at 15%. A few others, you know, correcting pretty hard at the moment. I would assume that a lot of the mining stocks are going to correct right now are just going to be the larger names. So it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with like the performance of the team. It has everything to do with name, brand, narrative, and the momentum. But Drew, as a mining stock enthusiast, I'll frame it that way. Any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think I do have a vested interest in this topic since my entire net worth consists of Bitcoin and Cathedra shares. But I think it's interesting with this because, like, obviously two different frameworks when it comes to how will the Bitcoin ETFs affect not only the mining stocks, but all the Bitcoin proxy stocks. So like MicroStrategy would be another example there. You know, the bearish view, which arguably is the one that's playing out right now, is that so many folks had exposure to these equities in their 401k or in their Charles Schwab accounts just as a way to get Bitcoin exposure. And that now that Bitcoin ETFs are out there, you know, these like lean investment vehicles with very small fees, that folks are going to roll out of those mining stonks and MicroStrategy into these ETFs. You know, but I do think longer term, there's actually maybe a more bullish kind of prospect. Really, if ETF does drive a ton of inflows, that will increase the price of Bitcoin. And that improves the fundamental businesses of all these mining stocks. Now, I think many could make comments around whether mining stocks actually trade on fundamentals. But, you know, I think if you see Bitcoin price go up, obviously that's good for the value of the assets of these mining businesses. It's also good for their cash flows. But I think really the key story right now for mining stocks, and I have to give you guys credit for a great 2023 Ordinal review episode. And really, I think the Ordinals BRC20 inscriptions really are kind of like the fundamental story right now for Bitcoin mining. And I think the reason why is because even if Bitcoin, if you have a low fee environment, even if Bitcoin pumps, you basically are, you know that you're just going to mine less Bitcoin over time. So hash price might even go up, but the hash value over time is going to deteriorate. Now, I think given what's going on with Ordinals and with transaction fees, this actually increases the prospect of, it increases the possibility that mining investments can produce positive Bitcoin on Bitcoin returns. And I think that fundamentally changes the way people think or should think about mining stocks. Now, it's still very early days. I think hash value also probably still decays over time as, you know, machines become more and more efficient. But I think that's kind of the key story here. That's not, you know, if people are rotating out of mining stocks to buy an ETF, I think they're missing kind of some of the deeper trends at play here, even if this is just a short-term capital outflow.
Yeah, and I think it's important to note that a lot of these tickers are up, you know, from where they, even after today's downturn in the past week of going down, they're still up from where they were in like last fall. I haven't done the math, but you know, back in the napkin, looks like they've either tracked a Bitcoin or outperformed it still. So, yeah, the way I see it, like the market had, the broader traditional markets have not had a lot of avenues for exposure to Bitcoin, and now they'll be able to really discover and maybe even differentiate better between different types of miners, public or private companies. I think the more ways you can deploy capital into Bitcoin and Bitcoin adjacent vehicles, the better.
Yeah, to your point, I think like one thing we forget with price discovery is oftentimes the alpha is because the market's inefficient from government regulation. And it took forever for this ETF to go through. And so that Bitcoin mining stock play was just extended for so long because there wasn't a natural competitor out there. And now that natural competitor has come out and we're seeing like price corrections happening. And then over time, as people actually start to realize like the fundamental value of Bitcoin mining stocks, we'll see another price correction, which at least I'm anticipating that. That's my perspective on it. I was talking this morning on a Twitter Spaces with Dylan LeClaire and a few others about this. And my perspective is a lot of people in the industry don't understand how transaction fees are going to be bullish for Bitcoin mining stocks. Obviously, we talk about ordinals quite a bit on this show, and that's because I come from a perspective, and so is Charlie and Matt, I believe as well, that Bitcoin mining stocks are going to be fed from revenues from transaction fees in the future, and ordinals are going to take a big part of that. I think retail and institutional investors often don't know that. And so I think we could see some like, bullish headwinds or tailwinds in the future. And that might correct a lot of like the problems we have now. That being said, we are a few months away from happening now. So it's time to start thinking about that. ETF is done, right? So we can throw the ETF talk out the window. Just kidding. We have a few more things I want to talk about. Let's go back over to the screener, unless Matt, you want to jump in there with anything.
Well, I was just going to like kind of riff off what Drew is saying. If you just like ignore what's happening and like the price movements of actual equities, you just look at structurally the Bitcoin fee market. Like you can pull up mempool.space right now if you want. The mempool is as big as long as I've been Bitcoin, I've really ever seen it. I think we're purging like 23 sats per V-byte transactions right now. Like that is absurd. Especially for where we are kind of relative to the halving, typically when a lot of transaction activity starts to really come on is when Bitcoin starts to kind of hit its blow off top point. But currently, I mean, because of this wave of inscriptions and the actual demand that's there, the amount of fees being spent is kind of unprecedented. I mean, I think I was looking before the show at just like what percentage of the mining rewards, the last difficulty adjustment were from fees. It's like 15%. I mean, that's really significant, right? That's really significant.
Yeah. And that doubles after the halving, or rather the subsidy gets halved. So like now in such an identical scenario, those fees would be 30%, which is substantial. Like that's a transition to a fee-based revenue model. That's crazy.
Yeah. I think one of the interesting things about that is like, Matt, to your point, in my lifetime, back when I was at Galaxy mining Bitcoin mining operations and investments for the first time, you would just put a 2% plug in for the transaction fee as a percentage of block subsidy. That was just like the flat assumption. And then, you know, on graphs, we refer to the fee crisis of 2017 in December of that year. And obviously, things have totally changed. Now, one of the interesting things about us moving to more of a fee-based market, because, you know, Charlie, you're right, like it's the number of Bitcoin being paid on transaction fees doesn't change. The number of sats per V-byte doesn't necessarily change. But what you basically have is from a miner standpoint, majority of your revenue is shifting to highly variable transaction fees. Basically from the stable block subsidy of, you know, 6.25 or soon to be 3.125 per block to transaction fees that can spike in an instant and then go back down. You know, something crazy can happen and the mempool can basically clear again. This revenue is so much more volatile and so much more variable that it's going to definitely change the way miners are forced to operate. You know, something I've been thinking about a lot is how in the future you might see just crazy fluctuations in hash price, even crazy fluctuations of network hash rate, just as miners switch on that maybe only turn on 10-20% of the time because they're decently uneconomical. But when, you know, transaction fees pump and when hash price pumps to a certain point, they may just switch on opportunistically to take advantage of those brief moments of high transaction fees and then shut off whenever that subsides. So I think the network is about to become a whole lot more dynamic in terms of the type of mining actors that are involved. It's not just going to be people plugging in new Bitmain machines and just letting them run stock firmware. It's going to be underclocking, overclocking, you know, grandma having S9s in her basement waiting to switch on if there's ever a crazy bloat in the mempool.
Yeah, the ETF.
If grandma's watching the mempool, it'll be really interesting times for Bitcoin.
Your grandma's going to watch the mempool at the peak o top of this bull market. And
your grandma's not watching the mempool right now.
So the crazy thing is, like, a lot of people talk about the ETF creating some kind of like paper Bitcoin crisis. No comments. I hope it doesn't. Who knows? But in such a case, the boomers make my tokens go up while I can still inscribe JPEGs for comparatively cheap because they're not doing on-chain activity. So best of both worlds, in my view.
We have some chatter in the crowd. Drew's not apparently a true Bitcoin maximalist, so I might have to boot him from the show. It's tough.
The profit, okay. Maxi.
It's just a little bit of bonk, okay?
It's a little bit of bonk. Bonk and Whiff are up today, I believe, along with a lot of other altcoins. Okay, let's go over and kind of finish off the ETF discussion for a second. I want to talk about this Vanguard thing, which was pretty interesting. According to the blog, Vanguard won't offer spot Bitcoin ETFs, says high volatility is bad for generating long-term returns. So they didn't move forward with an ETF, and I don't think you can buy it through like your brokerage exchange if you are with Vanguard. And now there's like just droves of tweets of Bitcoiners saying like, I'm leaving Vanguard, I'm moving over to Fidelity, I'm moving over to someone else. Do you guys have any thoughts on this? It kind of seems like a little ridiculous just to be so upset about it. And like, if you're a Bitcoiner, why don't you just buy Bitcoin? I guess it's all ideological.
I'll say, like, as a Bitcoiner, right, I'm just kind of like generally anti-censorship type things. And this sort of feels like almost like, you know, the SEC had authorized a valid financial product and Vanguard is discluding their clients from that. I think it's an odd position. I've seen like a lot of tweets out there about people potentially looking to like move brokerages and move their assets, so it kind of seems like a self-own, but I mean, we'll see how it plays out.
It does seem like a self-own. Like, you're just missing out on all these like fees. Like, even BlackRock is willing to do it, and JP Morgan is behind a lot of these things. And even as recently as the other day, Jamie Dimon said he still does not like Bitcoin. So, you know, if you're willing to hate it, but get in on it, it's for the market. And Vanguard's missing out on that. Their reason for it as well just made no sense. They were talking about it being like too volatile, but that's a lot of ETFs or a lot of financial products that can be offered on the market, right? Like, prices have random walks. That's just known. And long-term, the purpose of having some sort of financial instrument is for it to go up and to the right. It might take a weird way to get there, but that's the purpose of it. And then also in a general market like we have in US capital systems, you should be able to purchase whatever you want. So it's interesting that they're taking that stand. I guess it's going to take a few more years for the TradFi folks to come around in all cases. Drew, you're getting some love in the chat, I will say. People saying that you need to be a regular on the stream.
More people just trying to dunk on me saying I own Solana, slandering my name and reputation. I think that's funny. I think Walt's actually the one who's friends with Calvin Air, so information. But related to this, it's definitely a complete cell phone from Vanguard. I mean, it's also just crazy if you have like triple levered commodity ETFs that are not too volatile when, you know, like, yeah, I think this is just clearly there's something kind of, you know, more going on here, even if it is just them wanting to be very, very conservative and minimizing any liability that they might get. It's quite stupid. And I think it's nice to see people already pulling their funds from Vanguard.
Nick from Luxor, who is Charlie's boss, tweets, Vanguard now a group of people leading the way in developing new ideas, the foremost part in advancing army or naval force. Nick, I don't really get your tweet, but I felt like reading it live on air. So I did.
I'll pass it up the chain.
Pass up the chain. Nick, your tweets make absolutely no sense these days, but that's okay. We're getting close to the top of 30 minutes, which is normally where we call it. Any other thoughts before we close out for the day?
I'm just excited. Finally, you know, my mom and dad think I have a real job because they can buy and sell the thing that I No, I'm just kidding. I got him onto Bitcoin a long time ago. But now my aunts and uncles think I have a real job.
There we go.
I'll let Drew go, and then I'll give my thoughts.
Yeah, I think it's for the best because Matt, I think everyone on this show is smarter than me, but I can embarrass myself first and then set a low bar. But I think
president of a mining company.
I think this is a very, very exciting time. Mostly, you know, I was expecting, you know, like a 10K God candle, admittedly, and, you know, in private upon ETF trading. But, you know, I think kind of really what this means is just we've entered kind of the next phase of Bitcoin and Bitcoin mining evolution, really. Like, I think this is the ultimate sort of stamp of approval in a way from like institutional finance for this asset. And, you know, it's something that people have been working on for like 10 years, RIP the Winklevi. But I think what, you know, mining right now, I think is going to get even more interesting in a post ETF world. I think we've already talked about transaction fees. We've already talked about how inscriptions are potentially changing the way Bitcoin mining works. You know, I think there's going to be some interesting developments with the hash rate derivatives market, in part because of these you know, inscriptions, but also I think the ETF helps credentialize that a bit too. And I think we're kind of going to be entering this next phase of mining as more and more, you know, energy companies potentially start dipping their toes in the water as Bitcoin mining saturates more and more. And I think there's going to be a shift even more so now to a world where the most successful Bitcoin mining companies are all going to have an auxiliary revenue stream in addition to Bitcoin mining. Whether that does, you know, maybe some of them are trying to do stuff with inscriptions directly. Or, you know, even if you're just thinking about selling energy back to the grid, that's another market as well. So I think the game is about to, if we have been playing 3D chess, it's about to turn into 4D chess. And so I think it's going to be very interesting to see how things shape out during this next cycle of the next year or two.
Just throwing this Bitcoin chart up, but Matt, take it away.
Yeah, I mean, I think as a Bitcoiner has just been, you know, following it so closely, like it feels like a big moment. Like it feels like a watershed, like kind of pivotal point that, you know, will add a lot of legitimacy generally. You know, like I'm looking forward to the Super Bowl commercial, whoever does it, like it's going to be sweet to watch. And like, I can't wait for basically the, you know, whatever party you're at, everyone's going to be like kind of pulling you and pointing at the screen. That being said, I'm really interested to see if the issuers really get it, like really get Bitcoin, right? You know, you can pull your Sharpe ratios and you could talk about Bitcoin's performance in a portfolio. But I think at the end of the day, we all understand like it's about monetary competition, right? It's how Bitcoin is going to be adopted long term and compared against other currencies. And I'm eager to see kind of Bitcoin shift into the Overton window of things and what people's perception of it will be moving forward and really if this is an impactful moment or not. So it's good. There's never been a more exciting time to be in Bitcoin than right now, right? Potentially. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, I think my last thought is like, it is so cool to have this kind of blessing from the traditional finance world. But I do want to like hold fast to the original cypherpunk ideals of Bitcoin. Some of like, remember where we came from and, you know, fight for some of those core ethos. But also, this is the path that it's got to take for it to be the world money. So let's go.
Look at that. 2017, only a blip on the screen right there. We almost broke 50K today. Got to 49 and then it, of course, dumped a little bit. So we'll see how the flows go. This will probably just add some demand and hopefully we're all a little bit richer. Okay, we are going to close out. Thanks to our other sponsors, Upstream Data. Go check out their website if you are interested in purchasing hash huts or other mining software with them. And also thank you to Gator Mining. If you're interested in hosting a Bitcoin miner, then go and check out gatormining.ca. Really great service. I'm actually using them now. So go and check out Gator Mining. And lastly, Forman Mining, all things Bitcoin mining software, firmware. Well, actually, they don't do firmware, but software hosting management. Drew, Charlie, Matt, thank you for joining. Thank you for joining from the audience. This will, of course, be on a podcast format as well. So if you want to check it out, do it there. It'll come out on Friday or Saturday. Okay. See you guys.